following programs, views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. Our telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to have you give us a call. If you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you give us a call tonight. And we'll probably talk about a few other things here as the course of the evening here. But let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless, use the program for your glory. Thank you again for just a beautiful day today, and just pray that you'd use the program tonight again to encourage believers and also to point people to Christ that they might know him as their Savior. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And, you know, this is, for Northeastern Ohio, I know a lot of our Florida listeners, you left Northeastern Ohio because of our winters and things like that and our weird weather. We certainly have weather. I always joke that most of the rest of the country has climate. We have weather. You know, climate is like when my wife and I were in the Samoan Islands, we had climate. You knew what it was going to do day after day. When I went to school in Colorado, we had climate. You know, you could pretty much predict what it was going to be day after day pretty easily. When I was stationed in England, when I was in the Air Force, that we had climate there too. I mean, you knew it was always going to be wet and foggy and things like that. But in Northeastern Ohio, you don't know whether it's going to be what the weatherman said or not. You don't know whether it's going to be the same thing today that was in the weather forecast, or even if it's predicted that it's going to be clear, whether or not it's going to rain. You just don't know. So that's why I say we have weather in Northeastern Ohio. Yesterday and today are just two stupendous days. I mean, really for, late spring, early summer. I mean, I know we had Memorial Day and everybody looks at this as summertime, but summer actually begins here in the middle of June, I believe about the 21st. But this is still late spring, early summertime, but absolutely gorgeous days yesterday and today. Nice and warm. And even today, I think the most I saw was two faint little clouds way off in the distance, and that was it. Just a blue sky. My only complaint is it was hot today. It was hotter than yesterday. Yesterday was warm. Today was hotter, and I guess tomorrow's supposed to be hotter still. We're actually seeing 90 degree weather here in Northeastern Ohio, but nonetheless, It has been kind of nice because we've had some cool rainy weather. I remember the month of May was rather cool and rainy almost the entire month, so it's kind of nice to dry out a little bit. I think I still have mud in my backyard in places from all that rain that we were having. But at any rate, just thanking God for two beautiful days today and the opportunity, of course, to join together at church this morning, this evening, and visit to the nursing home this afternoon, and just a nice day to get out and fellowship with God's people and minister and do the various things, do as pastor of a small church. And that reminds me, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to give us a visit if you're in the area or if you're looking for a church that preaches the Word of God, takes a stand on the Word of God, and you want to learn the Bible. Not everybody, I found over the years in the ministry, not everybody really wants to learn the Bible. They just want to know a few things, but they really don't want to learn it. They come to some things and they just don't want to know it. And they just want a superficial knowledge, but they don't want to get into depth. Well, we try to spend some time getting into the Word of God. For instance, in our morning worship service right now. I'm currently preaching through the book of Romans, and then on our Sunday evening service, I'm preaching through the book of Psalms. And so I like to go through different books and look at them, and certainly don't spend an exhaustive amount of time necessarily on each and every verse, but we kind of go through, glean some things, and see what the Lord has for us, and try to make some application to help people out in their lives and in their walk with the Lord, or somebody that's not saved, that they might be able to make sense of the Bible and see that it's reasonable to believe that that God exists, and that he wants a relationship with you, and that relationship comes by what Jesus Christ did on the cross when he suffered and died and shed his blood to pay for our sins. And when we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, our sins are forgiven, we're delivered from the penalty of sin, and one day he's coming back for us, and we'll be welcomed into eternity with him. But in the meanwhile, there's a lot to learn, a lot to do as believers, and so we try to help believers in their walk with Christ. That's one of the reasons we do this program. But at any rate, you can find out more about us, more about the program, if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or go to our Facebook page, and you can find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. And you can just, however you get on to Facebook, I'm sure if you search for us at Live with Pastor Al, you can find our Facebook page there. Or if you have trouble there, go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and you can click on the link that'll take you to our Facebook page. So let me encourage you to check that out. Past programs are also there. As some of you are in an area where you do not get our Friday afternoon program, we have a Friday afternoon program every Friday at 1:30 until 2 o'clock right here on our home station, AM 1220, The Word in Northeast Ohio here in the Cleveland area, broadcasting from Independence, Ohio. And then, of course, those programs, I load them up on our website. And then, of course, on Sunday night, in addition to 1220, we're also obviously on 1440 out in Warren, Ohio. And then, of course, Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN in Tampa, Florida. And we're just happy to be down there with you folks and to be able to be a part of your evening here tonight. And like I said, I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. And by the way, speaking of Florida, I do want to thank our people in Florida, our listeners there, for your prayers and financial gifts. I just had somebody in Florida send us some money to help keep us on the air down in Florida. And I appreciate that. Thank you so much for that. And, we're there as long as God provides the funds. And it just astounds us. Working outside yesterday with a friend of mine, and we were working in the backyard and hauling gravel around, and nothing better to do on a hot sunny afternoon than to haul gravel, and we're moving it around, and we were just talking about the church, and we were talking about different things, and talking about when we first met, which was a few years ago. I was in my late 20s, and he was in his mid 20s when we first met. And so we were just talking about different things that we've seen change in Richfield and in the church, and different things in our churches that we've been familiar with. And so we were talking about that, and then talking about how it is that the Lord works things out in our lives. And do you find yourself later in life, are you doing the things that you thought you would do, or are you doing things that you never expected that you would do? And I can honestly say that back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, I did not expect to be on the radio. And for that matter, nearly 11 years ago now, I did not expect to be on the radio for nearly 11 years. We started, I remember in August, it'll be our 11th anniversary on the radio. And I remember when we started thinking, Lord, if we can last 1 year, just 1 year, we can at least say we tried. Well, here we are nearly 11 years later. So, we'll talk more about that, I'm sure, in August when we get around to our anniversary on the radio. But, it's just, it's kind of an adventure where you see where the Lord takes you. I mean, I was busy doing different things, and the Lord got me out of the Air Force and said he wanted me to do something different rather than the Air Force. And so I wound up in the ministry and wound up in the Samoan Islands as a missionary at one point, and along the way met a wife and got married. Or I got married and met a wife. Is that how it goes? I think I met her before I got married, but she wasn't my wife then, right? That's how it works. At any rate, but just thankful for how the Lord has turned things around and moved things around in our life and given me opportunity to do things never thought I'd do. You know, growing up on a small farm in Richfield, Ohio, looking around, everybody around me was either went to work down in Akron building tires. They still built tires back at that time in the 1970s and 60s. And I thought, well, I was either going to go down to Akron and build tires, or I'd go up to Cleveland and make steel or cars, one of the two. Or I would drive a truck or work on a loading dock, because that's basically what everybody around me did. That was what job opportunities seemed to be. And I must say that the Lord has allowed me to do a variety of things in my life. And I've just been kind of astounded at the things that he's done, places that he's taken me, opportunities that he's given me. And he wants the best for you. And he wants you not only to know him as your Savior, but he wants you to have life. He wants you to have it more abundantly. He wants to lead you and direct you. And I was actually talking, I think, about this here, and I turn over here. I hadn't really planned on it, but over here in Psalm 119, I was preaching on Psalm 119 in verse 73 through 80 tonight. And let me just touch on one thing here. In Psalm 119, verse 73, the Bible says, the psalmist writes this: "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." And in that passage, he's recognizing what God had done. He's recognizing that God had literally made him, and not only made him, but fashioned him. He had shaped him. God had shaped him and worked on him in order to produce the results that he wanted. And that echoes what you find in Psalm 139 and verse 13, verse 14, where he says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." It's talking about the unborn child. And, you know, having studied biology, and I didn't concentrate on genetics, but of course, genetics has come a long way since I graduated from college in 1982. But, you know, we studied a bit on genetics and the process of reproduction when you have half of your DNA coming from your father and half of your DNA coming to your mother from your mother, and it comes together. And in biology, they talk about this random combination, and in sexual reproduction, as opposed to asexual. Asexual is like in plants or whatever, where they bud, and basically they're producing clones of each other. There's not much shuffling around of the DNA. But in sexual reproduction, there's a tremendous amount of shuffling around the DNA, and science approaches it as random. And I was telling our church today, and we were talking about this, that, you know, think about this. The psalmist said here, in Psalm 119, that God's hands had made him and fashioned him. And in Psalm 139, that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. He was curiously wrought. And this implies a design. And so I would submit that that design goes all the way back to the combining of the two halves of the DNA, from half from the mother, half from the father, as they come together, that God orchestrates that combination. It's not random. It's fearfully and wonderfully made. It's made and fashioned with an intent. In other words, this is what I told our church tonight, and it's something that it almost boggles the mind when you think about it, that God had a plan for you when he fashioned your DNA at the moment of conception. He orchestrated that. He put that together so that you would have the color eyes that you have, that you have the color hair that you have. So all the various characteristics that you have were orchestrated together by God, not chance, not accident. And God shuffled those various portions on the DNA molecule so that you got exactly the combination from your father and your mother that he wanted. And that's an amazing thought. Somebody said that they calculated the number of possible combinations of human DNA, and they calculated that it exceeds the number of the known stars in the universe. And that's kind of a mind-boggling number. That literally means that there could be more distinct individuals, distinct DNA, than there are stars in the known universe. And we're talking about trillions upon trillions of stars. And it's just mind-boggling. And yet, God controls that, and he knows what he's doing, and he creates you for a purpose. Thinking of the blind man that the disciples said, why was he born blind? Did his parents sin? And he was born blind basically as a retribution or a punishment for their sin. And they even alluded reincarnation, slipping my mind there for a minute, reincarnation when they said, or did he sin that he was born blind? And Jesus plainly told him that he was born that way so that he would be there, that Jesus could heal him and show his power. And so, God has plans, even in what we look at as difficult situations and all. And I don't pretend to understand the mind of God, why he allows some of the things to take place. We do live in a world contaminated by sin, but yet nevertheless, the fact remains that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are curiously wrought. God's hands did make us and fashion us. And he didn't stop there because, he watches or and he moves things and people in and out of our lives at different times to guide us and to shape us so that when we come to Christ and we trust Christ as our Savior, we're going to have talents and abilities. And then he blesses us with spiritual gifts, more abilities and things that he gives us so that we can not only serve him, but it also that it will bless us in our life. And when we understand that, like the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 73, that God's made us, thy hands have made me and fashioned me, then we say, give me understanding. And we get understanding of why God made us the way he made us, why God gave us the abilities that he gave us, why he gave us the talents that we have. And then he says, that I may learn thy commandments. And when we begin to understand that, we begin to understand why God gave us the commandments and things that he's given to us. It's so that we can live to our utmost potential, not only to glorify God, but to be a fulfilling life for us. And so we talked about that at our church tonight, and I'd share that with you a little bit here on the program here this evening. But again, I want to remind you that you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can call in if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you. And a couple other things I wanted to mention. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the news and happening in this past week, even yesterday. If you saw some of the things going on, we might have mentioned it a week or two ago about how yesterday we were having, it was planned in about 20 cities or so across the United States, March Against Sharia. and Act for America, which is a group that is basically they're organized to alert Americans to various national security issues, and in particular issues dealing with the threat of the Islamification of America, encroaching Sharia law. And there are efforts to establish Sharia law in parts of America, and there are some places where they have already enacted portions of Sharia law. Some countries in Europe, Britain, for example, has Sharia-compliant courts. Well, Sharia law is completely incompatible with the United States Constitution. And so the March Against Sharia was designed because they want to alert Americans and try to educate Americans to prevent this. Now, think about this. People say, well, Sharia law, what's wrong with that? Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that a woman's word in a court or in a contract dispute should be equal to that of a man or half that of a man? Well, if you believe in Sharia law, and if you think Sharia law is acceptable, then you have to accept that a woman's a testimony in a court of law is only worth half that of a man. What that means is it takes two women testifying about something to equal one man's testimony. And then, of course, in practice, the one man's testimony still is usually favored over the two women. But that's one aspect of Sharia law. Now, the United States Constitution says that a woman's testimony in a court of law is going to be the same as that of a man. They're equal citizens in the eyes of the law. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up partly, and we'll come back to some stuff dealing with religion and Christianity in particular, but part of the reason that I'm bringing this up is there is a move to allow Sharia law to be accepted and enacted or acted upon in courts in America. And this is just plain contrary to the United States Constitution. Unless we want to go back to women being second-class citizens, if that's what they want, then that's what you get under Sharia law. Which brings me to another thing about women under Sharia law. Under Sharia law, women are property. They actually have a lower standing under the law than cattle do. I mean, how do you like that? And I saw in the news this morning, they were talking about the Islamophobic march, the hate group that's marching against Muslims. No, they were marching against Sharia law. They were saying, in America, we have a constitution, and we need to defend the Constitution of the United States of America against the encroachment of laws that would take away the strength and the power and the authority of our Constitution, the very Constitution that our forefathers fought and died for, the very Constitution that our young men and women in the military are fighting and dying for today. And yet, there were counter-protesters, the anti-Islamophobic protesters who were over there saying that they had no problem with Sharia law. And these were feminists. Now, okay, if you're a feminist, do you believe that women's testimony should be half of that of a man? Do you believe that women should be property of a lesser stature than cattle? Do you believe in, that a woman cannot go anywhere without a male relative or her husband? Well, that's all under Sharia law. And there's more. I won't get into, you've probably heard some stories. I'm not going to get into the details. FGM, look it up online, female genital mutilation. All of that is allowed under Sharia law. There's cases of that going on in Michigan right now, and they're just beginning to uncover the extent of it that's happening in Michigan. And the woman doctor that was carrying out this procedure said that it was okay under their law. She defended the practice. Well, again, the march against Sharia yesterday was to protest this. And another thing, too, is under Sharia, if Sharia law was the law of the land in the United States of America, I would not be allowed to say these things on the radio. It just would not be allowed. It would be against the law. And under the Constitution, I am. Under Sharia law, as a Christian, I would have to live in a dhimmi status as a second-class citizen. I would not be able to promote my faith openly and publicly. I would not be able to repair the church building. Of course, we meet in a hotel, so I don't have that problem right now anyways. But for those of you who have a church building, you wouldn't be able to repair it. If a tree falls through the roof and puts a gaping hole in the auditorium, you're not allowed to repair it under Sharia law. These are things. Do some research. Look in some of this stuff. Go to actforamerica.org. That's a good site to get you a start. Or go to jihadwatch.com or .org. I think either one will get you there. Go to thereligionofpeace.com, I believe it is, and check out some of the aspects of Sharia law that are not told, that are not reported on the evening news. I mean, it'll astound you. It'll shock you if you've not read any of this that's happening in the world around us. And speaking of the religion of peace, that's where I get, if you've heard me talk about or seen it on our Facebook page, the Ramadan Bombathon. We're in day 16 of Ramadan right now, and the terror attacks in the name of Islam so far, they've got recorded 90. The number of people killed in the name of Islam during these 16 days of Ramadan, 1,076, they've got confirmed right now. The number of attacks conducted by all other religions combined, 0. The number of people killed by all other religions combined, 0. These numbers go up during Ramadan. That's why they carry the Ramadan Bombathon scorecard. Well, stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com
That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. And if you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening. Of course, we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. And if you're in Northeast Ohio sometime, love to meet you, love to have you visit us. And you can find out that information either on our website, livewithpastoral.com. You can link to that information, or you can find us at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio, located right where Interstate 80, that's the Ohio Turnpike, crosses the Interstate 77, and we meet in the Richfield Holiday Inn Express every Sunday morning at 11, actually 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock, and then every Sunday night at 6 p.m., and every Friday night from 7 to 9. And so we have an informal Bible study there on Friday nights, and that's our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. Also brought to you tonight by the East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. You can find them located at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, if you're outside the area perhaps, or somewhere where you'd like to maybe start your own pizza shop, or maybe you have a restaurant, you need a really good pizza recipe to add to your lineup there, why don't you give East Coast Pizza a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started for a lot less than what you might think possible. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe, and it's good. Believe me, I enjoy it. Enjoyed some just last Thursday, and it's always good. And so just to give him a call, East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back into our program here tonight, and a number of things to chat about yet this evening. But if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we will get you on the air here this evening. And we have Barb calling in from West Virginia tonight. Barb, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing better, thank you.
Well, good.
Thank you for asking. I got a problem.
Yes.
I got into an argument with a preacher.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not going to really go into it, but I got two questions.
Yes.
He said I didn't have the right spirit.
Okay.
But let me explain. His spirit is a kingdom now spirit.
And by kingdom now, what do you mean?
Doctrine.
Oh, by
I didn't know this. I didn't know this because I'd been calling his program,
mm-hmm,
and was under the impression that he was fundamentalist.
Mm-hmm. Let me interject a second. By kingdom now, you're talking about the idea sometimes called dominion theology, where people believe the world's going to get better and the Lord's going to come back and set up his kingdom?
Yeah, something
okay.
like that.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask you, because I wanted you to help me to understand it. He says there was not going to be no rapture. I didn't realize it. See, years ago, I used to listen to TBN.
Uh-huh.
And I got to listening to Kenneth Copeland and them. And they were teaching we were little gods.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that myself, and you're right. And also, I believe you're correct. They teach that, you know, that kingdom now business.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. Can you?
Yeah, let me.
I mean, in a way, I do. I'm not saying they're wrong, but.
Well, I'll actually come out and say
I'm wrong, and
I'll come out and say they're wrong. How's that? I'll say it for you.
Okay.
And,
thank you.
And you know that thing you said, and I'll just touch on this one real quick before we get to the kingdom thing. That idea of little gods, you know, to me, that sounds too much like what the devil told Eve. Remember in the Garden of Eden, he said that when you eat the fruit, you're going to become as gods.
Yeah.
And you know, I get a little queasy or a little cautious when somebody tries to say that we've got some kind of innate divinity or we become somewhat divine. The only divinity we have is the Holy Spirit in us.
And that
comes from, like I said, from the devil in the Garden of Eden all the way through the New Age movement today, and it's infiltrated some aspects of the church of Christians, and it's a seductive, just like it was when the devil deceived Eve. It's a seductive teaching, and the only divinity that we have is
it seducted me, and I mean I know my Bible.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say. The only divinity we have is the Holy Spirit in us. We're not divine. We're not little gods.
No.
We are creating God's image. And one of the things that we know in Genesis chapter 2, God created Adam. He took the dust of the earth, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and then the Bible says he became a living soul. So we see the three-part nature of Adam, you know, body, soul, and spirit. And I believe that's what it's talking about partly when it says we're in the image of God, because he's a three-part being, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
They're saying this is all, what's the word? Not real. It's a
false teaching, or
the word.
Symbols. Oh, symbols, symbolism.
Symbolism. Yes.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, we are in the image of God, but like that is symbolism because we're not little gods, and that's what got the devil in trouble. He wanted to be a god.
They preach, it's like if we speak the word, the words that we speak, we're speaking as God.
Yeah, and that's simply not true. That's New Age theology wrapped up in Christianese. And and like I said, it goes all the way back to the lie of the devil in the Garden of Eden. It's very seductive. Eve was a brilliant woman. I mean, think about it. Adam and Eve were probably the two most brilliant people that ever lived because they were direct creations of God. They had no flaws. They were perfect in every way, and God gave them a free will, and the devil was able to deceive her. It's not that she was unintelligent. It's just that he was seductive.
Who sinned? Him? Adam or Eve? Who sinned?
They both really sinned, but the sin that counts is Adam, because Eve was tricked into it. Adam was the one who was initially given responsibility, over creation to have dominion and to basically be the caretaker of God's creation. So he had responsibility, and when he ate the forbidden fruit, he was not tricked. He was not deceived. He saw that Eve had disobeyed God, and he willingly entered into her sin against God, and that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, by one man, not one woman, sin can't be blamed on Eve. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so the sin nature passes down from father to children. You know, that's one area where the women are not to blame here, because you do not inherit your sin nature from your mother. You get it from your father. And that's why Jesus had to be born of the Virgin Mary, because if he had an earthly father, he would have had a sin nature.
Thank you.
See how that works?
I've never seen it that way.
Yeah, and so that's one of the necessities there. And not only that was a sign, you know, that Isaiah gave, that a virgin would conceive and bear a child, you know, have a son. So that was an answer to prophecy, but it was also necessary. in that respect, because otherwise Jesus would have had a sin nature.
They make it to where it sounds so good that you don't catch on.
Well, and see, that's what the devil did to Eve. You know, made it. In fact, I've been alluding to it. Let me turn back here to Genesis chapter 13. We'll get back to the rapture here in a minute, the catching away the believers.
There's not going
to
be a rapture.
No, there will be. I'll get back to that in a minute. But yeah, let me read this in Genesis chapter 3, okay?
Okay.
In Genesis chapter 3, this is what it says, starting verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Now, let me pause here for a minute. We're getting a synopsis of the whole discussion that took place. I don't think this was it. This was all it took to deceive Eve. There's more there. The New Testament says that Eve was deceived. She was tricked here. And so this is the synopsis of the conversation. More went on than what we see here, I'm sure. And it continues in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat of thereof, then your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods." See there? Ye shall be as gods. There you can become a god, knowing good and evil. And then notice what happens in verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, that should sound like something familiar in 1 John, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's all right there. And it says, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. See, she ate first. She was tricked. She was deceived. She was convinced that God was withholding something good for her, and she could be as a god herself. She could be a god herself. That's what,
where they're getting at.
Yeah, and so she was tricked. She was seduced into eating this forbidden fruit. And so she saw it was good for food, and there's the lust of the flesh, pleasant to the eyes, there's the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, there's the pride of life. The same things that God warned us about in 1 John, I think it's about chapter 2:16 or so, where he warns about that. And the devil did that in the very beginning. And so when Adam ate the fruit, not being, tricked, he plunged the human race into sin. And by one man, the Bible says, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all, for that all have sinned, the Bible says. And that's where it started, right there in Genesis chapter 3. The New Age movement, you don't hear the terminology as much as you used to in the New Age movement. Sometimes you do. It sort of surges a little bit. They call them by different things at different times. But the general push of the New Age movement is you can be as gods.
Well, is the kingdom now, is that the same thing? Or is that a
No, no. The kingdom now is a little different. The kingdom now comes from a false theology that essentially teaches that because the Jews rejected Christ as their Messiah, God rejected them. Now, it is true that God has placed them on the shelf for a time. And you can see this in Daniel chapter 9. And I'll show you this right here. God has a plan for the Jewish people. I think it's Romans chapter 11 says about a future date when the Jewish people will recognize Jesus as their Savior and their sins will be forgiven. That's yet a future date when the Jewish people as a whole, not every individual Jewish person, but as a whole, the Jewish people will recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. I believe that'll happen during the tribulation period, probably the midpoint of the tribulation period, then they'll accept Christ as their Messiah at that time. But in Daniel chapter 9, there's a prophecy that Daniel is given on that deals with the Jewish people and the city of Jerusalem, okay? Daniel chapter 9, and starting in verse number 24, it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. Let me pause here for a minute. Daniel's people is the Jewish people. And Daniel would understand the holy city to mean Jerusalem because that's their holy city. Now, when I approach Daniel chapter 9 here, as well as many other parts of Scripture, I use a common sense rule that if the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. That's kind of repetitive in a sense, if I can say it that way. But the idea is when you read something in the Bible, oftentimes it makes perfect sense. It's understandable, just like when you read something in the newspaper. But sometimes there are some things that you have to kind of look at a little closely and try to decide and decipher. And so it says 70 weeks here. Well, the 70 weeks that we have here, he says the purpose of that is to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. In other words, it's to bring to fulfillment all the prophecies of the Old Testament, to bring to a conclusion Israel's sin, and to wrap all that up and bring in the anoint the most holy, which would be Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as king over the world. Okay, this would be the kingdom would be set up at that time that he's talking about.
That's a thousand years, right?
Right. That's a thousand-year kingdom that we see in the book of Revelation starting in chapter 19. Now, see, the 70 weeks, that would be 49 weeks if they're literal weeks. But as we go through this and we get into the next verse, verse 25, where it says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times." Okay. What we're talking about here is a number of years that can be calculated from when the commandment was given to restore and build Jerusalem under the time that Jesus entered into Jerusalem, Messiah the Prince, came. You can calculate this out, and it comes out, if each of these weeks, instead of being collections of 7 days, they're collection of 7 years. In other words, prophetically, they're years. Each week stands for a period of 7 years. And there's other places in the Scripture, I believe, that this similar sort of device has been used. So we understand that it's more than 49 or 490 weeks. 490 years is what we're talking about. But as you go through this and you calculate it, I don't have the calculations in front of me, but numerous people have calculated this. And it comes down to the time when the Messiah would enter into Jerusalem and present himself as the Messiah would be exactly, let's see, it's 490 minus 7, which is going to be what, 483, right? Yeah, 483. But anyway, these number of years came down exactly from the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem to the time that Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, to the exact day. Isn't that amazing? So we know that the timing, looking at it as weeks of years, is correct, because that's when Messiah the Prince came. And then notice in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26, it says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." Well, what happened to Jesus after he entered into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? Well, he was cut off. He was crucified, wasn't he? But did he die for his own sins? No. He died for your sins and my sins, right? So he was cut off, but not for himself. And then it says, "And the people of the prince that shall come," so this is the people of a future prince that shall come, "shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." Okay. Well, when does that happen? Well, in the year 70, this is after Messiah was cut off, after Jesus was cut off, but not for himself. In the year 70, the Romans came in
and they destroyed Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple. So this tells us there's a coming prince that's going to come out of the Roman people, out of the Roman Empire. And that's the prediction. So Jesus
That's where they get the Pope.
Right. Well, no, not necessarily the Pope, but it could be. Some people think it'd be the Pope, but doesn't necessarily have to be. But this is who we call the Antichrist, right? The beast of Revelation. And he comes on the scene. Remember, we've got 1 week of years left to go. Instead of 490 years, we were at 483. So we got 7 years to go. Well, notice what happens in verse 27. And he, this prince, shall confirm the covenant with many, many being the Jewish people, many of the Jewish people, for 1 week. There's the last 7 days, this the last 7 years. Okay?
Wow.
That's the 7 year tribulation period that's yet future. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease. That tells us that the temple is going to be rebuilt. And it can't be the second temple that Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated when he sacrificed a pig on the altar, because that happened before Christ was born. And Jesus spoke prophetically in Matthew chapter 24. Was it 5, I think it is, where he said, when you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So he's talking about this being future. So the temple has to be rebuilt. There's plans right now to rebuild the temple. And I sometimes speculate because 50 years ago in the Jewish Jubilee year, the Jewish people captured the Temple Mount and Jerusalem. And the Jubilee year is a time when land went back to its rightful owners. Maybe this will be the year, because this is 50 years later, it's another Jubilee year. Maybe this will be the year that they begin work on the new temple. But the temple will be established. Sacrifice and oblation will take place. The Antichrist, the prince of the people that come, will command it to stop in the midst of the week, 3.5 years into it. Well, and I apologize, we're running out of time here real quick here tonight.
Second
Thessalonians, I won't take the time to turn there. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about the man of sin, the son of perdition, being revealed, going into the temple, sitting himself in the temple, and showing himself as God. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. That's, I believe, where the Antichrist will claim to be God. And that's probably the equivalent of about Revelation chapter 13, where the mark of the beast is instituted, and the people have to receive the mark or the number of his name on their forehead or on their right hand, and if not, they're killed. And in chapter 14, it makes it clear that the people who take that mark worship him as God. And so as a consequence, I think that that's when he's going to declare himself to be God. He's going to go into the temple, say, stop the sacrifices, stop the oblations. I am God. Worship me.
Yeah.
And that's the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That's when he causes that to cease for the overspreading of abomination. He shall make it desolate even until the consummation and the determined be poured out upon the desolate. And that brings us to the end of the 7 week, which, remember, would finish up the sin and all the prophecies in the Old Testament, bringing us to the millennial kingdom.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Great.
And you know, there's a lot more to it. I just went through what I could have spent 2 hours or more on our Friday night Bible study talking about.
Book on it.
And we just went through it in a few minutes here. But
yeah, I was reading a book called Whoa, 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 and then Armageddon.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to have to cut it right there, I think, because I just got about 30 seconds left. And maybe we'll revisit this again. I want to thank Barb for that call and a good subject. And this is one of the reasons that the Christians are not going through the rapture or through the tribulation, because that's for Daniel's people, for the Jewish people. And during that time, they'll come to Christ and they'll accept him as their Messiah. But you can trust Christ as your Savior, as your Messiah today. Why don't you do so before it's too late? Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.